This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hey, welcome back to Shed Talk for another good interview sit-down with an individual that really gets back to our roots of what we do as far as in eating from the earth, providing for yourself, the normal things that we did before all these other places were available out there. My guest that comes in today is a full-time farmer. Her and her husband have been doing this for quite many years. With further ado, how you doing, Renee?
I'm so good. Thank you so much for having me on.
Hey, thank you for being here. This is awesome
really
having you
it.
Here. I was sitting here looking at some of the information that you provided to me, and I see that you really dive deep into this farming. How did you actually get into this farming? What made you actually decide to get into this?
Well, it really dates back to my childhood. My father always had two beef cattle and a little garden for us to live off of. He kind of lived in the generation of people always growing things, but he was only able to bless our family with 1 acre of land. And that 1 acre, he wanted to provide for us as much as he could. He was a truck driver as well, so our income wasn't the greatest, but he always wanted to make sure we had food. And as everyone knows, groceries are probably the most expensive thing a family can have. And so just that little bit of insight into farming as a child kind of put that passion in my heart. I was a daddy's girl, so I was always out there with him in the garage doing all of the work. And my brother is older than me by quite many years. And he was in the horse industry and also all the time kind of helped involve me into what he was doing. So it was a joint effort from the people around me that gave me this passion. I just enjoyed the fact that everyone was happy around food. And so I just kind of grew up with it in small scale. But then as I got older, I just wanted to evolve that into something bigger. I never really knew in life what I wanted to do. And farming was always that thing that felt comfortable to me, something that gave me joy. And I just wanted to be able to bless others with the wholesome food and the memories that are shared around a table with food.
Wow. Wow. That's a lot. I mean, it's pretty much of your essence. It's in your blood. I mean, what time did you have to get up in the morning, when you were younger doing it?
Well, growing up, it was never like a big scale thing. So if I got to feed the cows before school, that was great. But if not, my dad usually took care of it, or my brother. But we didn't really do the farming like a living thing. It was just kind of when we got up in the mornings for summer, the garden was out there, my dad was out there, we'd go out and help him or something. And we kind of fell off of that when we got older. I fell into a horse industry more so. I enjoyed rodeo and I worked at a therapeutic horse riding center for people with disabilities and special needs. And they also have a veterans center. And that fulfilling other people's needs and desires and making them happy was always something that I enjoyed doing. So that kind of fulfilled more, but that took me on a different path from the farming lifestyle. But it was still always there, and I knew I couldn't make a living with horses, really. So agriculture and farming just kind of became something that I knew I could do, and I could do it well because I love doing it. It's hard work, very hard work, but the passion that I have inside of me just continues to allow me to want to do it.
Wow, that's awesome. So, let's step into it. What actually landed you up to where you're at right now with the full-time career in farming? Like, how did you walk us through the steps of how did you get to where you're at right now?
Okay. Well, after high school, we all decide if we're going to college or into workforce or what we're doing. And I was on a route of a lot of people were pushing me to go to college. And I loved school, but I really didn't want to go to more schooling, but I knew I had to do something. I really never found another niche that I enjoyed. I really just tell people I'm a professional poop shoveler. I get so much joy out of it. It's really a therapy for me to clean stalls and shovel manure all day long. And so they're the only jobs I really had growing up. And so I didn't desire to be like a doctor or a lawyer or anything like that. I wanted to stay in my comfort zone, I think. I don't know if that was out of fear or if it was really just me driving off of the passion and knowing that's what God had planned for me. But I went into school, tried to become like a teacher. I wanted to be an English teacher at first. I went to elementary education, and I really based those job choices off of having the summers off so I could farm. So I could have the time to work in the garden, to work on my cattle, to go to rodeos and horse shows. And so every time I'd go to college for that and I'd put my degree down, I'd be like, this really just doesn't, I don't know. I don't think this is right for me. And I was on a mission of getting to as far of where I grew up as possible. And so I was trying to go to Texas. And I had applied for some schools and all of that. And fear is something that always held me back for a lot of things. And, when I decided to step out on my own, I was moving to Texas to follow my family. I stepped out on my own and disconnected so I could figure out who I was instead of just following in the footsteps of my older brother. And through that, I found that none of these other careers or anything fit me. In my heart, I just truly never felt happy. And so when the college that I was attending in, it was around Marietta, Ohio. It opened up an agricultural business degree. And I was midway through a semester in early education. And I was like, oh man, it was just calling my name. You got to get there. You need in this course, you need in this program. And so I finished that semester and I started our program a semester late. It was the very first time that college had ever had that program. I worked my tail off for the entire time to so that I could graduate on time with everybody else. And I don't think we ever had another graduating class. Agricultural just seems to be like something that is leaving what someone wants to do as a career. We talk about that as a lot where people say that farming isn't a real job. I think it's because it's so hard, it takes so much investment, and you have very little return that people really think that it's a real job. And so it didn't really pan out for our college. So It ended after us, but I graduated in our first graduating class, which was so exciting to say, just because that's just really neat. You know, it's the only graduating class of that degree.
That's awesome. At our Congratulations.
School. Thank you. And, you know, it's only an associate's degree, like I said, because they canceled the program, our credits were no longer transferable to any other colleges in the United States. I had a plan before I met my husband to move to Texas to further my education with agricultural business and a teaching degree, because I love sharing. I Right. love helping younger children and younger generations learn about this, but I couldn't transfer those. So when that wouldn't happen, I had to kind of shift gears. All at that same time, I met my husband. And so I ended up not moving to Texas and moving to West Virginia. I became a stay-at-home mom, which then became just a hobby farm career for me. My husband, like we've talked before, was a union pipe fitter before he had the incident at a powerhouse and was no longer able to do that career. That right there is what shifted Right. our entire life. Because before we made this our full-time career, I was just a stay-at-home mom. I had no income source. I took care of the cattle. We raised all of this thing for our own self. I want to take that back. I wasn't just a stay-at-home mom. Saying just your something is horrible. So we're not going to say that again. Got to correct myself when I say
right,
that.
Right, right.
Because I did so many things. I was still a farmer. I was still utilizing everything I'd ever learned with my farming, with all of my education, running our business of the farm. But it just wasn't on a big scale. And so I thought I was, you know, failing, not using my degree for anything. And then when my husband got hurt on the site and he was no longer able mm-hmm. to do that career in those plants and stuff, we had to completely shift because, as you know, that type of job is a very, very rewarding job financially. It had its major right. downfalls of him not being home all the time, crazy long hours, exposure to all kinds of chemicals and different things. But it allowed us to live comfortably and be able to
right.
to be able to feel as if farming was succeeding for us. When we had that mm-hmm. shift of life change, we had to decide what to do. We both tremendously have this great passion for farming. We were greatly blessed by his family, having this family farm that we were able to obtain and continue working at and thriving the land and all of that. But when he financially had to switch gears and we had to come up with a whole new way to supplement that kind of lifestyle, we had to really completely shift. And that happened about 15 years ago now. And it opened our eyes, one, to so many materialistic things that you don't need to live with. It allowed us to open our eyes to so much more of what was going on with chemicals in our foods and things like that, and allowed me to truly want to make our farm a natural farm to help, one, with my husband's health, because he had been hurt by chemicals. And so it opened my eyes to
right.
that and what I wanted to put more into my food and things that could interact with what he has going on or not going on. And while we say it was a hard thing in life that we went through, it was the biggest blessing to open for my, I feel selfish saying it a lot because I feel like it opened a path for me.
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
To express or utilize my passions, my gifts, my talents even
right,
more,
right.
You know, because
your natural passion that you were able to do.
Right. I never wanted my husband to get hurt or anything, but I had longed so long while he was providing to be a part that I got to see my dream come true, to experience this huge farm business going. And I just feel selfish a little bit about that because it allowed me to live out my dream just a little more.
Yeah. So a question that I do have there, what has been one of the biggest lessons that you have learned from turning farming into a business and to a way of a lifestyle? Like, you know what I mean? Like, how did you do the transformation over from a business and this is how we're going to live? Like, how did that go through?
Faith. Our faith was the only thing that has got us through any of this, because
amen to that.
There is absolutely no way in the world we would have survived any of this if God wasn't here with us, because through those hardships, through all of the bad that we've been through in life, and we continue to go through, like, farming is so hard. Every single day, there's something that goes wrong. Something breaks down, a cow gets out, a fox gets a chicken. You know, like, there's always something, but there's so much provision that everywhere we look around, he shows us. And in his promises, he shows us that no matter how much harm came to my husband or however much hardship we went through with that life shift and the things we had to sell and the simpler lifestyle we had to adapt to, God has never left us. He has always provided, no matter if that tractor payment's been 2 months late and the bill collectors are calling, that last call, God's always provided. There's always been an animal that went for sale or just something that was able to come through that was like, wow, you know, all of this hard work, God's seeing it and God's blessing us, even though it may be
right,
hard.
Right, right. Now, time out here real quick, Renee. I mean, we're going diving deep into everything that you're doing out here. Now, let's be honest here. How do you navigate through, you know, being identified as, you know, as a woman in the agriculture field, especially being in a field that is traditionally all men and males? Like, have you had any type of heat or any type of issues being a female in this field?
Oh, yeah. That's probably my hardest thing that I have to navigate because it makes me angry and I don't want it to make me angry because I see people as equals. I see people as this guy working beside me in the hayloft is just as strong as me. He is just as experienced as me and we can both have the same outcome if we work together. So when I see typically men, they are usually the ones that come at me and say, oh, get out of the way. I can do this. You need to be in the kitchen, taking care of the kids, whatever. I'm like, I mean, like, why? I'm here. This is my job. We can get along and still work side by side. I think it's just a power struggle or, there's a lot of people that see, I don't want to like brag or anything, but like women that are stronger or like, something as more like intimidating. And I'm just like, dude, if you can help me and I can help you, we can throw a lot more hay into this hayloft.
Right. Have you ever gotten to any moments to where you had sort of a self-doubt of going full-time into farming? And if you did have any self-doubt going through all this process, what helped you stay grounded and continue on? What helped you stay to the course?
I'm stubborn. I face self-doubt every day. One, I'm a woman, so I have self-doubt every single time I look in that mirror. There's something I see that I don't like. I don't feel like I'm doing good enough as a mom. I don't feel like my cattle are growing good enough. I don't feel like I planted my garden soon enough. I don't feel like I made breakfast in time. There's so much self-doubt, but with farming and being a woman in farming, I've never felt as if let's backtrack that. Let me reverse to when I was younger, I never saw this. It wasn't until I wanted to do it for a living. Like when I was going alongside my dad or my brother and, you know, just doing all the things, I never saw the people say like, oh, women shouldn't do this, women shouldn't do that. But it, like when I myself personally became, I wanted to be a farmer and people told me that is, you can't do that. That's not a real job. You got to have something to back that up, which is true. It's great to have a second job to like supplement the income of a farm. But you're a farmer and you're doing that full time, the farm is all you have. And so while we do have, we're starting an excavation and construction business that my husband's starting, we do have a sawmill. So we do have little things, but everything we do is so weather related. So we,
how long have y'all been doing this full time?
The farming, we've been pretty full time for about 10 years. Sawmill has been little less than that. Excavation business, we just got the excavator last year. So that's kind of just starting to get off. And that's really my husband's thing. I help him with the back end stuff, but we found that through working, I missed a really crucial part of our journey here. We used to have a store here on our farm. We opened after he was having to switch that. When we went full-time farming, we were like, well, we need more outlets to sell. We had a clientele where we were selling whole and half beeves and hogs. And we thought, you know, we need a storefront and we'll sell livestock feeds for our local farmers and help support the farmers around us. Because once you went full-time farming and you were trying to buy grains and feeds, you got to see how these commercialized feeds were, of what was in them and all of that. And I wasn't okay with all of that. I'm not good with chemicals. I don't think that anything should be going into our animals that's not natural, as much as possible. And so we opened our own store so that, one, I could help supplement the farming side. We had an outlet to sell of our produce, and we helped other local farmers because they were able to sell their things here too. And so that was something else we started along with our sawmill. Farming, you pretty much have to be like a jack of all trades, master of none, so that you can keep going.
So, you know, for our listeners out there right now, they want to know, what kind of livestock do you actually have there at your residence?
Well, we are a primarily a cow calf beef operation, meaning I have mama cows. They stay here for their lifetime, pretty much. They produce calves for me. The heifer calves will get sold off to other farmers locally to put into breeding programs, or I'll keep them here on my farm if they're special and I like them or something.
Question I got for you.
Yeah.
Can you explain, what is a heifer? Because I have no idea what that is. What is a bull? I know what a bull is, but what's the difference with the cows? Like, what is a heifer and this and that?
Okay, so a heifer is a cow. She's a female. She's a young one. So typically they're a heifer until they're close to 3 years old when they have their first calf. Mm-hmm. So when they have their first calf, they become a cow then.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And a steer.
Okay, so that's what they're, okay.
Yep, and a steer is a castrated bull.
Okay. So do cows have three stomachs, or is that a myth?
Well, they have four compartments to their one stomach.
Oh, how does that work out?
I'm not exactly sure all the science of it to explain it right off the top of my head. But the different compartments are where, like, the different things are broke down. I don't,
okay,
without
I
my
you,
book
like
right in front of me, I couldn't tell you all of
right,
the science.
Right. Now, here is a question I do have for you. Now, as far as in whenever one of these heifers are pregnant, are you kind of like on code red of going across the property looking for this one to make sure that it didn't have the baby?
Yes.
Like, do you go through, you go, have you, how many babies have you delivered? Baby cows?
We're probably in the hundreds now, I'd say.
What?
I mean,
you delivered over up there
now. I mean, we've been doing it for 15 years. We've had the biggest herd we've had was close to 60 head of mama cows at one point in time. So that's close to 60 calves.
60 at one point in time. That is a lot.
It is.
How many you got currently right now? What do you got going on currently?
We only have 20 mama cows. We have 16 calves on the ground. I'm holding over 4 heifers from last year, which are yearlings, which they're not ready to breed yet. They're too young. We like to wait until they're about closer to that above 2 years old range to breed them so that their body's completely formed and we don't have any issues of birthing. Because when they are a first-time heifer, they could have complications. So we just try to prevent that as much as possible to make sure their bodies are well-suited for labor.
Do you own a bull as well?
Yes, we do have a bull. We run just beef cattle, so we don't have a very specific breed. We like to flock towards the Hereford Black Angus cross, which is called a Black Baldy. I also have a couple Charolais, which are like the white ones. I am certified to artificially inseminate cattle. But after going through the schooling for that, I morally couldn't do it. I morally just couldn't do it because you have to pump chemicals in them to sync their cycles so that you can inseminate more cattle at once.
Wow.
It would flush out systems. And I am just not a believer of that.
You go with the natural style.
I do, because you also still have to run a bull with the herd anyways. So you're spending double the money, in my opinion. So it just wasn't one cost effective for us, because you have to purchase all the equipment, like the big tank, the dry ice, the semen straws, and all of that. So plus have a backup bull in case your straws don't take, because there's a chance that you miss, just like a bull would miss.
Now I know these cows, like, what's the average weight for one of these full size cows?
The full size big ones, they're probably 1500 pounds. I would estimate an average.
How much land do you got them on? Like, seriously, that's a lot.
We run about 400 acres through the whole year.
Oh my gosh, 400 acres.
Yeah.
And I have seen on some of your social media, whenever you go live and you're walking this stuff with your little dogs, it looks beautiful. It looks very relaxing and refreshing. And I even seen a couple of the cows, I feel like they knew who you are and they come up to you. Yeah. Is that true?
It is. I am a lover. I know a lot of farmers, they just put their cattle out, let them do their thing. But being with the livestock, being out in nature, it's a therapy for me more so than a job.
Relaxing.
I really don't consider what I do a job. I know it is one. And I mean, they say if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life. And that's kind of how I feel. A God-given passion in my heart. At the end of every day, I think about what I've accomplished and I'm like, oh, I didn't get this fence fixed. I didn't get this cow moved. But then I think about the families that I'm feeding. I think about those families sitting around their dinner tables or their picnic tables grilling at the 4th of July or any holiday, eating burgers that we have provided for them.
Right there, what you're at. You got the nitty gritty of what everybody wants to hear out there. What is the difference from the cows that you produce and you have out there versus the going to go get the ground meat at a store? What's the difference? Is there a difference?
There is a difference.
I heard there is.
There is a difference.
Okay, can you tell us what's the difference in it? Can you give me a little bit, like, not too much of the science, but you want to break it down a little bit?
Well, if you were to purchase a beef from me, it would come as one beef. You can either, we sell them as wholes or halves. So you literally get the whole animal or half of the animal, and someone gets the other side. And we also raise hogs too. We didn't get into that, but we're mainly a beef farm.
Oh, we'll get into that too.
Yeah. When you purchase that, we haul that animal, we load it up in our trailer, we haul it to our butcher or processor, and it gets processed there. The butcher or processor, directly contacts you, the consumer, to see how you want your meat cut, how you want it processed, wrapped, if you want any of your meat smoked or any of that. So you have full control, like how thick you want your steaks, how thin you want your steaks, if you want your hamburger 20% lean, 10% lean, 5% lean, you can control what you get back. And also you get back that specific animal that I took to the processor. If you're going to the
grocery store. So what's the difference from the store? Yeah.
If you're going to the grocery store, you're getting one package of hamburger could be 10 different cattle or 20 different cattle.
Wow.
From 20 different farms that you have no idea really how they were raised or anything. So while I can't produce quantity, I can produce quality. Ours are pasture raised. We try not to use grains as much as possible because through our experience, I've really not determined any scientific research of my own that has grown my cattle any better if they're eating lush green grass and minerals that they need compared to bringing them in and trying to fatten them up on grains. So we really just try to produce off of the land of what God provides for them through the ground. That animal then also, I mean, I'm going to say it. I raise these animals with my whole heart. There is so much love poured into my herd because I truly want to generate a product that people want to continue to come back for, that will make those memories around those tables where you bite into that burger or you cut into that steak and people are just like, you know, like love.
Right.
Food to me. It is just my love language of how I bring joy to people. I don't have a whole lot to offer. I don't have a whole lot of other skills or anything other than this. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I truly just continue with it, because I think this is what God really intended me to do with my life and to be able to serve Him through providing for others through this natural, wholesome produce that we raise.
That's awesome. That is really awesome. Now, you know, you handed off to that you also have little hogs as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how's that process go with those?
It's a little bit harder, in my opinion, to raise hogs because they are harder to keep out in pastures. We have been kind of doing a trial and error for a few years. I don't want to barn raise anything where they're on a lot. They never see grass or sunlight or anything like that. In my own opinion, that's just not how God intended it to be raised. He made these beautiful lands and everything that these creatures need to live off of here on the earth. So I just feel like they thrive off of the land, and they can help us with the land as well by making it more nutrient-based and good for growing and more produce for us in other ways. So the hogs are a trial and error thing. Keeping them in is hard. We're working to find the perfect pasture-raised pig. But I really enjoy the hogs. They are so smart. They're so smart. And having your own bacon and your own sausage and being able to provide that for others as well I don't even have words for how amazing it makes me feel at the end of every day.
It's very rewarding for you. Mm-hmm. And the fact is that you're actually, you know, from the process of going through raising them, feeding them, and getting them out to the families, and so the families can have true foods that come from the earth. That's amazing. That really is.
Yeah.
You know, let me ask you another question. Are you, as far as in chickens, do you have any chickens at all?
We do. Yeah, we raise
with the chickens.
We do have laying chickens for our own personal use for our own eggs, but we also have meat chickens, which here in West Virginia, you can sell meat chickens straight from your farm. You don't have to have like the commercialized license like you would beef or anything like that. You just have to have like pass the little health check and stuff, but that's a neat thing. But we usually just do that more so now since we closed our store for ourselves. So we went really big scale and we're kind of went a little smaller scale. We don't sell anything by the pound anymore out of our store or anything like that. We've actually closed the store because it got to be too much. People just sometimes can really take advantage of the small farmer or the small businesses, thinking that they still shouldn't be asking for any bit of markup. And that made it really hard for us because I'm a giver and I always wanted to give everything away at the lowest price anyways.
Right.
And so that was a battle that that's one of the hugest battles as a farmer I think we all face, is because you can go to the grocery store and buy things cheaper. You can go.
Yeah, but it's the quality though. Because I myself, I even got, I get the eggs. My neighbor has eggs up the road and I get eggs from him. You know, he brings them right down to me. And it's nice because of the like you said, it's that it's not so much the quantity, it's the quality. And when you crack open one of these eggs from one of these supermarket stores compared to getting one from a chicken that is cage free, oh my gosh, it's like night and day.
Yes, 100%. Absolutely.
Even the taste is so much more enriching. Also, that I'm sure that the nourishment for our bodies is even healthier for us, you know?
Absolutely. I believe that so, because the sun gives us so much nutrients like vitamin D, and they get minerals from the ground, which are then also then put into what you're eating. And so if an animal is in a barn for its whole life, never sees the sun, you can tell like the difference of the richness of color, like you were talking of the yolk. I don't know if it's science or not, but I attribute that to the sunlight that they receive and the nutrients from the ground that they get, because it's just so bland to live in a barn and to eat feed from a feed tub for your whole life. So I feel like this grocery store egg is the bland egg. And this one has so much life and nutrient and everything because the good Lord blessed it.
Right. So got a question for you.
Okay.
If you can give any advice to someone, especially a young woman out there that wanted to pursue this type of traditional pathway that you are on, what kind of encouragement would you give that person?
I would probably tell them, especially her, to hold tight to that faith. You know personally that it's for you and it's your chosen path. No one has to understand your path. No one has to agree with it. But if it makes you happy, keep reaching for that dream. Never get up. I'm 37 years old and I'm still working on living my dream. And I have been working at it for a long time. And I truly never thought I was going to get here. I thought I was just going to be that mom that was stuck doing all the things for her family that were wonderful, but she didn't get to live out that dream of truly being out there working that land and working that farm. And here I am. I've fought through all of those differences, those hardships. Everybody that told me that I couldn't. A few years ago, there was a little girl. My family and I host a community hayride for Halloween around here. We just get everybody on the trailers and we haul them around the community. And this little girl, she didn't know who I was. And she said, "What do you do for a living?" And I said, "I'm a farmer." And she said, "That's not a real job." And I was like, oh, my heart broke because the children of this world don't, they're not being taught that that's an option, that they can dream to be the farmer with all the animals and the crazy livestock lady. Like, you can be the crazy chicken lady if you want to be.
Right. Because like, if all the power goes off and these grocery stores aren't available, you got to be able to live off the land. And it looks like you and your husband and your family are ahead of the ball on this one right here. Definitely.
And you know, it warms my heart so much. Being on social media now and seeing out into the world, I kind of thought farming was a lost art or a lost career, but there's so many families turning back to this. And I am so happy to see that because I'm seeing people find joy in the simple things again. And it makes me feel like, yes, maybe, just maybe, them seeing me go through the hardships, it'll help them, and I'll be able to share with them something that will help them along their path. And so to be, like you said, maybe just a little bit ahead, I don't know that I feel that way because I feel like every day I'm taking 10 steps backward, but I feel like it's a blessing to so many because I can share and hopefully help them to not make the mistakes that we did. We always say we could write a book on the things not to do because we've done all of those things.
Right. That's awesome. So let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Looking ahead, what does success in farming look like for you? Not just the business terms, but in life. What does success look like for you? If you could sit back and you say, what does that look like for you? Just give us a blimp view.
You know, I tried to answer this question so many times already, and I feel like I've already succeeded. In life.
Amen to that.
I feel like every single day that I wake up, every single day that I look out my door and there's green grass for my cattle and my horses are out there and my children wake up and enjoy this lifestyle and they want to continue it with me and they want to be my helpers and that we get to do this side by side as a family. That's where I feel like I have succeeded the most. And I can't think of something in my life that I want to accomplish more than that right there, is to just give my family a life that they don't feel like they need to escape from. Something, yes, it's hard. And there's days we were like, we just want to sell everything and buy a boat. But, but it truly is like, we go out and it's just simple. My kids don't have to have these PS5s or I don't even know what these things are. My daughter said something to me about them. Like we don't have all of that stuff, but it's just a simple way of living. And I feel like I've already succeeded. The business side,
right.
Yes, I would love to never be late on a payment again. I would love for the cattle to the market to completely stay where it's at right now for us, because a seller's market is great right now. But the market mm-hmm. is always changing. Our income is never stable. So financially and the business side, I just pray that God continues to provide just enough for us to be able to put smiles on our faces and our kids' faces. And that doesn't
you can't go wrong with
that. That doesn't mean a fancy car or a big fancy tractor or anything like that. It just means the love that we're sharing with the life that we're building. And that's where
true
success has come from to me.
Yeah, I definitely tell you a lot of this information here. It sounds like it keeps you humble. It keeps your feet down to the ground. It keeps you level headed. And I see the fact that you are really thankful for the blessings that you do have. Your family is okay with everything that goes on, and you take it day by day.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that work is always going on. So Monday through Sunday, there is always something to do around the farm. Is that correct?
Always something to do. We do try to hold Sundays for family days and the day that we just sit back and we're like, thank you, good Lord, for everything you've given us. And because he tells us
that's awesome.
We do deserve the rest as well. Sometimes Sundays are hectic and we can't break loose of work, but we try so hard to make it his day because he has given us so much and he deserves our worship and praise. And I just truly am so thankful for his blessings in my life, because I could have went the wrong path. In high school, I could have went just the wrong path, just like anybody else. You know, we've all went through things
right.
in our life. We could have went down that wrong road. And I'm thankful that God always there with that quiet voice kind of guiding me and telling me which way to turn. And I just truly think that if anyone ever desires to reach any sort of dream, that faith is what they need to hold on to, because without that, that dream is just a dream, and faith is what holds the actions. It what gets you over that fear. It gives you that leap of faith. You're able to get through it.
Wow, that's awesome. That's great information there, Miss Renee. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. Sorry, Renee. But as far as in what I did want to ask you, if somebody would like to get a hold of you for some business purposes, what are some ways that they can get a hold of you?
Oh, well, I don't really know. I'm new to the social media thing. I just started the TikTok thing about in February, so that's
what that works. That works out.
Yeah, TikTok.
Yeah, what's your name on there?
Renee or Rising Hope at. Oh my God, wait, what's my name? Rising Hope with Renee. That's what it is.
Yeah. Rising Hope with Renee.
Yep. Renee,
so whenever you go live in the morning,
there's two different ones.
What I will do is to help everybody out at the bottom of this podcast right here, this episode, I will have a link on there so that you can actually follow Renee over there on her TikTok and reach out to her. And if you would like to, and also give her a follow. Because I will tell you this, I have seen some of her lives in the morning, and she has hundreds of people that come in there and they have questions and they show a lot of positive support. And you get a chance to, if you're thinking about going farming and wanting to leave your desk or your city life, you get a chance to take a look to see what Renee sees every day by getting up. And it's so nice that you get a chance to see the different weather, with foggy days, rainy days, sunny days. And it's just a very good place to be able to see God's land over there in West Virginia.
Absolutely.
It is so good. Hey, you know what, Renee? I really do appreciate you taking this time to sit down with me and give us all this behind the scenes of being a full-time farmer and doing what you do. I commend you for consistently staying at it and going through and consistently staying with your passion. That is amazing because, you know, regardless of the doors and all the different negativity you may have had on your way, you never gave up and you continue to live on your dream. And it's even beautiful that you have a husband and you have children as well. So your family is living that same dream as well. So God does work in mysterious ways, and it just seemed to fall in place for you and your family. That's awesome.
Yeah, it really did. God is in the story so big. And I have no words when it comes to that part, because I think about 10 years ago, 12 years ago, as long as it was ago, I never imagined I'd be where I'm at. I never imagined I'd be on a podcast interview talking about farming or anything like that. And there's so many opportunities in this world. And I've realized so much in my life that fear is something that always held me back. And so the last little bit that I would ever say to anybody is, do it afraid, do it scared, do it, because not doing it will hurt you worse in the long run, because you will wonder what it was like on that other side of fear always. I was so afraid to get onto this podcast. I'm so afraid of other journeys in my life, but this is just a stepping stone. So I really appreciate you inviting me on and allowing me this opportunity to just take another chance to step over that that fear level and to be able to shine my light out of this world. Other than farming, I truly just want to shine my light out in the world for Jesus, for people to come to know him, because I am so madly in love with Jesus in my life. He does so much good. And there are so many people out there that could use so much joy in their life, and it can come from him in just a blink of an eye. And I just hope and pray that through any of my social medias and these adventures that I may have in the future, that through the actions and everything, that they just can come to know Jesus through me and through the light that I shine. And I hope that that people can feel loved around me. I'm a true advocate for that. No matter our differences in this world, that God says to love one another no matter what. And I want to share that out into the world and shout it from the rooftops, because we live in a world right now that there's so much hate and division. And any opportunity that I get, I just want to share that and shine that out there, because Jesus said to love everyone, and that means unconditionally.
Awesome. Awesome. Hey, y'all. This has been another great episode here on Shed Talk. You got behind the scenes of if you decide to get into farming. Miss Renee, I appreciate you taking the time, sitting down, talking to us about this. And until next time, everybody, have a good one.
Thank you so much.